For a few Sundays now, I've been, instead of reflecting upon the epistle and gospel of the particular Sunday, taking the opportunity to also look at secondary feasts, because it seems that those secondary feasts offer to us extra things that we can reflect upon and or were parts of devotions that many people had anyway. So it was just good to call attention to them and bring those thoughts to our mind. It's in that spirit that I'd like today to spend time speaking about St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She is honored today. It's a secondary feast for today on Sunday. She's honored today in a great way at Mass and in so many different things and by people throughout the entire world. It's a very popular devotion of St. Thérèse of Lisieux. I almost want to call it a silent yet strong devotion. You know, it's out there in many people, the hearts of so many people, to pray to St. Thérèse, to ask for her help and guidance, to follow her examples. There's so many things there, and yet, you know, it's not something that's big things, processions and things like that take place in that honor. And that fits so much with the simplicity of her life and her message, if you will, that is the hallmark of the gospel teaching that we observe. Our Lord wanted us to be simple. In fact, that's the oration for today, for this that is also prayed today on October 3rd for the Feast of St. Thérèse. That, O God, who has said that unless you become a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And then we go on to the comment, particularly in the prayer for her feast day, is to take note of her simplicity of life and the way that she turned to God in humble confidence in so many things. Those are the virtues that we are there to honor and to imitate. And I think those are the things that are devotees of St. Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower as she is known. They take those things with her and try to imitate her in those particular examples. You know, just a matter of commenting on her life before getting into that and just the remarkable points of her devotion. I remember going years ago to visit the chapel, the shrine of St. Thérèse of Lisieux in Normandy in France. And it's amazing, you're driving through the French countryside and you just see this huge building, the basilica that's there. Small town Lisieux is, not that big. It has a Carmelite monastery in it, but that's not its claim to fame. Its claim to fame is a resident of that monastery, that Carmelite monastery, cloistered nuns, whose message and devotion, her love for God, her simple love for God, her utmost confidence, got out among people and encouraged many, many people to that simple devotion and the way of life toward God. It just made changes in people's lives. In her outward appearance, there didn't seem to be anything that was heroic, magnificent, even spectacular in any particular way. She was a humble nun. She even tells us in her autobiography that she suffered a martyrdom of scruples of life. She liked the praise and the approval of friends. She was tempted to give up striving for holiness. She had strong likes and dislikes for people and even gravely tempted against matters of faith. She said these things afflicted her life. And you think back, well, okay, this is that great saint. She went through troubles and trials like we all have. Maybe that's why the people are attracted to her. She's a saint that people can come close to, can recognize in her. That what we ourselves trouble and have troubles in heart and soul, she too has happened. And yet, she didn't use all of these temptations she went through as excuses in her life. She overcame them. That's the key to the whole thing. She tells us of her temptations and trials, but they were just that, temptations and trials. She didn't go on to make excuses for sin and say, oh, I just can't help it. I have to sorrow. I've got these scruples. I have these temptations against faith. I just can't help it. She knew she couldn't help it by herself. She overcame these and many other trials in so many different ways. And that's what many of those who have a devotion to St. Thérèse find an admiration of her. Because they go through similar difficulties. And by listening, or rather by reading her autobiography, by following the examples of her life, by going through those particular things, they discover they can make it through too. All these trials, all these difficulties are not something that should overwhelm us in any particular way. You think, what did she do? Okay, we see what she has done to overcome these personal trials herself. But beyond all that, what did she do to receive the praise and devotion of so many people throughout the world? Why is her cultus, as it is called, so strong as to bring her canonization not too many years after she passed away. What did the Holy Ghost inspire in the hearts of people to bring them in pilgrimage to see where she had lived at a convent monastery? A monastic life, a cloistered way of life, where people couldn't even go on to see her. They could see the things of her that are there, her habit, the hair that was cut when she became a novice, and so many different things like that. But they could see those things, but they couldn't penetrate into the walls. But then, like I said, this huge basilica was built to honor this simple nun. So many have found, besides thinking of all the trials and temptations that this little saint went through, and how she overcame them, and teaches us how to overcome them. So many have also found great comfort in, let's call it her doctrine, if you will, her little way. We hear people, especially devotees of St. Therese, speak of her little way. What she means by that, it's the short, easy way to holiness and mounting that great point. You know, again, she looks back on her own life. She says in her autobiography, I look back in my life and I see all my troubles and trials, all these difficulties, and I see what this saint says about mounting up to the great heights of holiness and what this one has said and all these particular things. And I know that I am weak, she says in her autobiography. I know I am weak. I am not sure that I can mount or go to the top of this mountain of holiness in the same manner as these great saints have done. There has to be another way to help. Not to say these things the other saints are bad, but just to say, dear God, you know that I am weak. I have these trials. What can I do to mount to these heights of holiness? Because that's what you asked me to do, dear God. You are to be perfect, is the command in the gospel. She recognizes that. But how to achieve that despite all these other difficulties? That was the question. She read from the scriptures and other particular books and lives of the saints. Several things pointed things out to her, and what they all came down to is that point of being like a little child. Also in the Old Testament, there was something about coming to God as a little child. That struck in her heart. What can I be in simplicity of spirit, humbleness of heart? How can I come close to God? And not run away screaming and yelling, saying, it's too much. I can't become holy. It's impossible. I have all these troubles and trials. She points to us her little way. It's simple. The simple way is just, her little way is trust and abandonment to God. And she likens it to being as someone, a little child who is placed in the arms of its parent. That little child has complete trust in the parent. Take care of them, will not drop them, carry them safely along the way on to destinations that need to be fulfilled. That is what she has confidence in that a child will have with a parent. If a child will have that toward a parent, then how can we not turn to God, our loving Father, and put ourselves into His loving arms to reflect upon that point that God has said He loves us so much, to care for us in every way, to put absolute trust in Him, and even that term, abandonment, meaning that I will just let God lead me wherever I must go. I will pray, I will sacrifice, but I will refuse Him nothing. Whatever He asks of me, I will do. I will fulfill it. I will go forward in that way. That's that spirit of abandonment. I won't make objections to God. I won't try to come up with more complex ideas of points of spirituality. I will turn to God in simplicity of heart, in complete trust. And like that child, abandonment, wherever you want to take me, God, however you wish to lead me, it's going to be through trials right now, fine. I'll accept it because I know You'll give me the grace to help me. If it's going to be through goodness and virtue and grace and all of these particular things where I feel that I'm almost floating on the air toward God and the practice of virtue and the striving for holiness is much easier, I will be abandoned to God. I won't attach myself to it. I'll be abandoned and say, God wishes to give me these enjoyments right now to strengthen me at this moment because I know trials are not too far around the corner. But it's the same God who gives me trials as the one who gives me these joys. And I accept that. That's the little way. That's what it is. Yet so many devotees of St. Therese of Lisieux, they read the stories about how she prayed for a man who has been condemned to death. She heard the news, and the news came into the convent that there was a man on death row. And she prayed, not necessarily that he was going to have to be spared the punishment of capital punishment, but that he would be converted before he died. And she prayed and sacrificed for that man. And you know what? He was converted before he died. It became an amazing thing. That hit the news too. He asked for a priest and was peaceful in going to his death. St. Therese trusted that God would hear her prayers, and he did. Or how about the one particular time there was a man, a devotee of St. Therese of Lisieux, was praying in trials and difficulties going through, and all of a sudden some roses came down upon him. That's why the symbol of roses is that with St. Therese of Lisieux. St. Therese is also known as a patron of missionaries. Can you imagine that? A nun in the cloister who doesn't go out on missions, but she is considered as the patroness of missions because she prayed and sacrificed for souls. That was all part of her little way. She knew God would want her to do it. She would refuse him nothing. And that's how she prayed in the simplicity of her life. It's that very measure of simplicity that calls upon each one of us to learn that lesson. We live in a complicated world, a complicated way of life. Even referring to the Blessed Sacrament that we've honored in these past 40 hours this weekend, we even can complicate our life very much that way. Now, many times, if we come to make a holy hour or a visit here, or even at times that we come for Mass on a Sunday, we have some quiet times. Most of the time, people are praying, looking in their missal and praying some prayers. I'm not condemning the use of missals or prayers because they have many indulgence prayers there. They help to get our thoughts collected in the right manner. But what I am saying, there is a period of time that we should just put the books aside and think and talk to God in the simplicity of our heart. Let all the things that we have read and prayed in those prayers now fill our hearts, and now let's talk to God in that way with our own words, and he will give his voice to us, and we will experience that in our heart and soul. There's a simplicity to that, and it's that simplicity that's going to be the great benefit to us in really mounting toward holiness. Again, there's nothing wrong in the prayers there, but if that's all we do is read the prayers and think that by reading the prayers of this particular book and things of that nature, that's my pathway to holiness. It's not. We have to take time to reflect upon the prayers that we have said. When we come to honor our Lord here in church, take time to talk to him. Yesterday we had the Eucharistic Holy Hour as part of our 40 hours devotions. We used a booklet that really was beneficial. The prayers are wonderful. It just helps to lift your heart and soul up to God during this particular time of this Eucharistic Holy Hour. But this booklet makes a point, midway through the prayers that are prayed, is to take time out for silent prayer. It is not right to just say all these prayers all that particular time and not give to ourselves the opportunity for our hearts to break forth in love and praise to Almighty God, and he speak to us. There have to be those periods of time in silent prayer. One of the great benefits that can come up from Thanksgiving after Holy Communion, maybe you want to say some prayers in your missal because it keeps you from distraction, but at some particular point, set those prayers aside. Also, talk to Jesus, who is now inside of you in Holy Communion. Let that be where your strength comes from and the graces that will come in that way. That keeps the simplicity of life that we need in so many different things. That's what St. Therese came to teach. Her doctrine was not of complication, of these extra devotion, things like that. Again, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to say we have a St. Margaret Mary about the devotion to the Sacred Heart. Many other saints and other are going to point out certain ways to us and help us in those ways. But God gave to us a variety of saints. Men and women like us who have walked this face of the earth for all this time and will until the end of time. He's given us these people here so that we can turn to them and learn from their holy example. And in many ways, one of us is attracted to this particular saint and the devotion they have. Another is attracted to this particular point. It just seems that devotion to St. Therese of Lisieux has come up as an attraction to so many people. Because in a world that is so filled with complications and busyness and all these things, we have a saint here who says, slow down. Slow down in the simplicity of your heart and soul. Put yourself into the arms of your Almighty God and Father. Walk with him. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Set aside all the things. If you had a bad day at work, don't come into the house with it. Leave it outside. Have a simple life. Let God lead you and guide you. Peace will restore and you'll feel more energized to get back to the things at home, but also for work the next day. There's so many things of what we can learn to live the simple life, the holy life, the little way. That's the way of St. Therese. What we pray today on this feast day is that we will learn how to find rest in the hearts and soul, and for our hearts and soul, rather, in the hearts of Jesus and Mary. They are there to teach us the whole doctrine of St. Therese and more. That little way leads us to great holiness and sanctity, step by step, bit by bit, without us realizing it. Pray for the fact that to realize how we need to make our lives more simple before God and not as complicated as the world wants to make it. It's in that simplicity, in that humility, we will find grace and strength and ultimately save our souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.